welcome to another episode of Art Moms Podcast. I'm Mona, your host for today, and I'm really excited to have another special woman here, fantastic artist and inspiring woman. Her name is Lindsay Dauphiny, and she is talking to me today from Belize, and I'm really excited to hear about her story and introduce her to our audience, to you. So please, Lindsay, can you talk about yourself a little bit and just tell me about your journey into the art world?
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm really excited to be here. So my journey into the art world has been an unconventional one. It's something that has always been kind of sitting in the deep depths of my soul, I think. And I just didn't always have the environment or the support systems to really subscribe to that part of me fully until not too long ago. And I had really a life-changing experience that made me take a hard look in the mirror and realize that life is too short to be denying, you know, this part of me that's so integral to who I am. And yeah, it really morphed my life in the last few years. Yeah, so basically I spent a good portion of my life kind of denying my creative spirit, or almost doing it in kind of like a tricky or secretive way. So my most recent life or history was as, before fully embracing my life as a creative and an artist, was working in tech and business operations. And I spent my time consulting with a lot of tech companies. So it was, I mean, they're more creative and open than most, but it's a lot more dry and still regulated than what I'm doing now. So it's kind of funny because this part of me was always trying to sneak out. So I, you know, for example, would have like the most, anytime I had a chance to be creative, I would infuse it into that. So I would have like the most elaborate playbooks or presentations with these great design aspects. And a lot of like my clients or bosses in past would kind of say, you know, this is great, but it looks like you spent a lot of time making this look really pretty, you know? And that was something that it was a shadow for me. It was in contention and I would get kind of sensitive about it. But really what I didn't realize at the time, it was this part of me, this massive part of me that I was just denying. So basically fast forward in my life to a few years ago, a couple years ago, actually, it was 2020 and I was pregnant with my son, my first son. It was a very weird time to be pregnant and like entering into motherhood. And the whole time during my pregnancy, you know, I kept telling myself the healthcare wasn't what you would expect for a pregnancy because of, you know, the thing that nobody wants to talk about anymore, COVID. And I just kept telling myself, you know, let go and let God. And by, you know, the time I have this baby, it'll be fine. It'll be great. You know, many women have done this for many years and there's nothing to worry about. My body's totally capable. I decided that I would like to do a home birth for that reason. And then when it came time to actually have the baby, the world just like tossed me on my ass. I was in prodromal labor for 10 days. We ended up in the hospital emergency. So the home birth went down the drain, didn't even make it into the birthing pool. It was just sitting in our living room, and ended up in the NICU with my son. He was hypoxic for the first 30 minutes of his life, meaning he did not get oxygen. So his brain was lacking oxygen as well. And I went through going to the hospital and in an emergency state, being in an additional active labor for 23 hours, them giving me the, I forget the name of it, the oxytocin, I think, the drug that you know, stimulates dilation. It wasn't working. His heart rate was going up. So they kept taking me on and off it. Eventually they said, we need to go for an emergency C-section. Unfortunately for me, I had drug allergies. The epidural wasn't working. So I went through the surgery and felt everything, which was extremely shocking and stressful, like literally shocking. And then when my baby came out, he was blue and he was hypoxic for the first 30 or so minutes of his life, meaning he did not have proper air and he didn't get air to his brain. So then we entered a journey of being in the NICU, so the neonatal intensive care unit, in during a pandemic as well. And that was extremely difficult. My heart goes out to any parent who's experienced any type of health issue or scare with their child, but especially the intensive care unit. It is an experience. It is a life-changing experience. Being that it was during COVID, it was especially difficult, A, because people are still really driven by fear. It was a scary time in general to be anywhere, let alone in a hospital. My son was, it was particularly scary because he had what was called meconium aspiration syndrome. So he had actually aspirated his, or breathed in his meconium all the way to the end of his lungs, right to the alveoli. It was a very, very severe case of it. And to be honest, like it just, it didn't look good for a while, you know, that we had no idea what the likelihood of him making it at all was through the first week or so, let alone the brain damage that he would incur from the injuries. So being in the, and I know this sounds really heavy right now, but there is a happy ending to this story. Being in the NICU at that time also meant that only one parent was allowed bedside at a time, which is extremely difficult because my husband, Simon, is my rock and, you know, has just done so much to help free me from a past narrative and a past life. And I really, I pride myself on being a strong and independent woman, but he is truly my secret weapon. And going through that alone and having to be strong and maintain a strong energy bedside with my son solo was super difficult. And obviously there's, you know, the other side of that is the times that he's in the by bedside, I'm just sitting in a waiting room by myself, like severely postpartum, severely, like just went through a horrific surgery in itself and very traumatized myself. So what do? Like most people these days, I jump into some avoidant behaviors and I jump on Instagram and I just start scrolling because it's all that I know to do. I mean, of course, I'm praying and I'm trying to stay centered and I'm doing, you know, things that kind of help keep me grounded, but there is definitely a lot of crying and a lot of scrolling going on. So during that time, I'm not even sure how it came to me, but I started scrolling and a lot of like bright and colorful art was showing up on my feed. And it was quite literally the bright joy, tying back to that creative part of my soul that was so comforting, that's always been part of me, that's always been there for me, that regardless of how much I denied it or shamed it or allowed other people to tell me that creativity wasn't important and wasn't a priority, that aspect of me has always been, it's always been there, you know, like that thing that, or that almost like an entity in itself that sticks by you. That's like, you can ignore me, you can shame me, you can, you know, forget about me for years on end, but I'm always going to be here for you. And quite divinely, you know, this amazing art starts popping up on my feed. And it was just such a bright, like contrasting bright and beautiful experience to have in a time that was so dark and lonely and scary and miserable for me. And that period was really pivotal in who I am and what I am today. To have such, you know, in the face of everything that was happening in the hospital, having that opportunity to see something so absolutely opposite was like jolting. It was shocking for me, in the best way possible. So a couple things happened after that. One is that my son started getting better, which was, sorry, I'm going to start crying. My son started getting better, and miraculously. So when we first got into the hospital, they told us prognosis for life wasn't good, wasn't optimistic at all. And brain damage was almost inevitable. They told us he would have moderate to severe brain damage. Literally, the time that I really like started scrolling, it was like the universe was giving me a sign via my son that I was on the right path, because he, shortly after, they got him stable enough that he could have an MRI, and he started breathing on his own, and they had the MRI, and the MRI came back completely on his brain, came back completely clear. He's still in follow-up, but we've literally had zero issues. He's like a regular toddler, testing everything these days and talking, like, you know, nonstop and running around and making a mess of everything in his way. Loves to get into my art supplies. So that moment coincided with him really, really improving and really like going against all odds, like all odds possible. He was like, nope, that's not my story. And that's not going to be your story. And it really opened up something in me as well, in terms of thinking about what my story had been and what my story was. And, you know, finding the bravery or the drive or the motivation to go against all odds myself. So one of the days that we were driving out of the hospital, we were driving out of the underground, and I said to my husband, Simon, I said, babe, you know, I'm really good at what I do in business, and I've been very successful, and the money is great, and, you know, all these things on paper that society tells you are important, but it is not filling my cup anymore. There's nothing wrong with it, but there's nothing inherently right with it either for me. And a lot of the things that I do get from it, like working with people and, you know, creative problem solving and stuff, I feel like I get that through something else. So when we got Jack out of the hospital, which was a little over a month after, I grabbed just a set of like basic acrylic paints, and I started taking some time after he went to bed to paint. I really hadn't done anything creative in years, because I had been shamed out of it, whether through, you know, people that just didn't appreciate it in my life, or fear, you know, a lot of my own fear, and thinking that it wasn't a valid way to spend your days, which now when I say that, I'm just like, whoa, how could I have thought that? This is exactly what the world needs. And I just started painting, and it was such a therapeutic act for me. And I thought about all of that Instagram scrolling that I did, and how much joy that brought me. And I kind of just rode that wave, and it has been such a trip since then. So, you know, looking back, I think about, you know, the elective art courses that I took in university and how I denied that, and, you know, taking a class in high school and not being supported there, and then not continuing with art, and then even, you know, far back as a child and just being limited into like what I had access to, and, you know, sports and academics being prioritized over art, and coming full circle to this moment with this like big aha moment of realizing that art is so much a part of me, and being creative is so much a part of me that I've just been really denying that for so long. And what has happened since then has just been incredible. So one of the accounts that I was absolutely enamored by when I was scrolling was Sari's from Not Sorry Art. I absolutely adore her as a human being and as an artist. And she had just opened up her art scholarship. And I thought, you know what? Like, I've had a couple miracles already. Why not? Why don't I toss my hat in the ring? Is that what the saying is? I think so. And yeah, I mean, gratefully, I was chosen. I won. I was gifted this scholarship. And that was such an amazing blessing. I've learned so much from her as an artist, as a person. It's really made something that felt very inaccessible to me accessible, because I felt like I had missed a fork in the road in life in terms of like being able to go to art school, or, you know, and there were so many times where I look back and I was like, oh, like I thought, well, maybe I'll change my major in fourth year, like to art. But it's, then you're like, no, that's ridiculous. You spent so much time and money doing this other degree. And then, you know, in business saying, well, maybe I'll go back and go to design school. And then being like, no, you've spent this many years establishing your career in business and whatnot. And this was the time where, you know, I kind of said, you know what, I'm going to try it. I'm going to go for it. And yeah, it happened, which is fantastic. And it really was, I think for me, a sign from whatever word you want to use, God, source, the divine, the universe, whatever, to let me know that, yeah, this is right. This is bringing you joy. This is bringing you peace. I truly believe that the world right now needs more happy people, because happy people beget happy people. And I just thought, this makes me happy. This changes everything that I've been through in the history of my life, all of the abuse and trauma and, you know, bad decisions and the things that I had trouble forgiving others for and had trouble forgiving myself for. And this is an opportunity. This is a new fork that I can, you know, take the path that I really want to take that isn't driven by fear and is driven by love. So it was really a pivotal time for me. And then, yeah, it just kind of opened up a new road. So I'm very, compared to like a lot of your other guests, I'm very new in the art world. This is a very exciting time for me. I'm meeting all of these like-minded, amazing people, amazing women, amazing moms, amazing artists. And I love this new narrative of thinking, of like, not thinking, but knowing that I can do it all. I'm not just a creative in the fact that I paint or make clothing or, you know, do all these other things. Like, I am creating my reality right now. That's where the creative comes from. And it just feels so fantastic.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all that. And, you know, I had chills all the way through when you were talking, because, and I've been talking about that a lot and quite openly too, because the birth of my son was a traumatic event for me as well. And every single time when I talk to someone who speaks openly about these experiences, I really appreciate you all being so open about it, because, you know, we carry a lot of trauma afterwards and it's not talked about enough. And when it is, sometimes we just feel ashamed of, you know, having various emotions connected through that. And so I'm always trying to like encourage people to talk about these things and find the connection, you know, because we have that shared experience, and also it empowers us much more than, you know, suffering in silence and being lonely, because we're not lonely. There's so many women around the world who actually have that experience. So thank you so much for sharing. As I said, I had chills all the way through when you were talking, and I'm really glad that everything turned out well and there was this silver lining of you finding your way back to your art. And it's funny when you were talking about like different ways how art kept creeping back to your life or trying to like resurface, because we ignore our creative callings for so long. Like so many of us were like, okay, yeah, it's a hobby or whatever. You do it from time to time to make yourself happy or make gifts for others. But then actually like it is a calling and it is coming back to us to actually show us like this is what you're supposed to do to make the world a more beautiful place full of love and colors and everything. So I'm happy that, you know, you found your voice in the end and that you just like kept going and you're doing it now. And I wanted to talk about your art as well, because you're creating these beautiful, like colorful landscapes. And you mentioned that you had the scholarship by Sari Schreik. I just interviewed her on the other podcast last week. And so her Not Sorry Art School is fantastic. I just love everything she does. What was it like for you connecting with another artist mother early on in your journey?
Yeah, absolutely. So I just want to touch on, thank you for sharing, because it has been wild to me how many people, when you do talk about it, have had a similar experience. And yeah. And then we went through it with our second son as well, just recently. So it really, talking about it helps me anyways, because it normalizes a really horrific experience. And I think that a lot of people these days get caught in comparison, especially with kids, saying, you know, oh, my kid's like has this many teeth and is walking at this age and et cetera. And I really enjoy meeting moms who have had a similar experience to me, because it helps me connect in a way that I feel less alone. I've felt very alone my entire life. I've felt very, very alone. And that was a very lonely period. But knowing that, like, you're just happy your kid's here, you know, and I'm making an assumption, but that is very much the feeling that I have. And I'm happy and I'm grateful that the silver lining was that it also allowed me to open up and find this other side of myself. So early on, before I actually applied for the scholarship, I saw a video of Sari talking about her art practice. And she had an amazing analogy about putting her kid in a car seat and how her art practice was similar to that, in the sense that, you know, your kid, most kids, my kid definitely hates their car seat and doesn't want to be in it, doesn't want to be strapped in it. And it comes back to the point that regardless, you would never not put your kid in a car seat. I mean, I live in Belize now and there's tons of kids not in car seats. So that was very like North American centric point of view. But I digress. You would never not put your kid in a car seat. And for the record, I do put my kids in car seats here. But the idea of it is that that is truly what's safest, what's healthiest, what's best for them. And she equated that to carving out time for her art and making sure that she still had that safety, that security, that healthy time for her art. And that was so liberating for me, because having a newborn, and especially the shame that can come along with having a newborn that was in the NICU, and how, I don't know if other people were making me feel this way or it was really just myself thinking that you're so lucky to have this baby, you shouldn't think about anything else. You shouldn't think about anything else. You shouldn't think about your own needs or your own desires, definitely. And I think that's something that a lot of moms struggle with. I felt like it was compounded in my situation because I should just be lucky to have a baby. And I was so grateful. But I also realized that if I really wanted to be a good mom and a good parent, I needed to, in my mind, and the way that I think of it is, it's one thing to tell your kids you can be anything you want and you can do anything you want. It is an entirely different effect and impact to live that and be that example. And I feel a great privilege and obligation to do that, not just for myself, but for my children. They will never know me as the successful businesswoman. And that's something for my ego to kind of shake and think about, because that was something I was really proud of. But this season of my life is so much more authentic, and I am so much more proud of what I'm doing and how I'm doing it and how I live my life and how I am mindfully channeling joy into this world. And I hope to be a permission slip for others to do that. And Sari was really a permission slip for me. And I think that passing that on is the least that I can do. So, you know, I was really nervous to be here today, but I feel like showing up. And I think that's what it's all about. I think it's about being permission slips for other people. It's not about, you know, going on Instagram and saying my life is perfect, or social media and, you know, putting up this rouse. It's like, yeah, I have tough stuff that happens, and I have traumatic events, and we all do. Nobody's gotten out of the last 2 years unscathed. We all have a story from the pandemic. You know, everybody's lost someone or has lost a job or had a life-changing experience in some way or another. And I think that my goal is to come out of this a more authentic version of who I am. And there's a song that my husband and I love by a singer called John Craigie. And the course of it is, when the apocalypse is over, I hope you like your job. And it's, you know, it's very, he's very tongue in cheek, but it's so true. You know, like, we've all had an opportunity for a reset here. And I want to look back on it and feel confident in my choice. I don't want to look back on it and how I have in past, and not that I have regrets, because everything that's happened has brought me to where I am today. Literally every single tiny, minute peace has brought me to where I am today. But yeah, when the apocalypse is over, I do like my job, you know? So it's just been a life-changing experience for me. And Sari in finding her so early on was really a great permission slip for me to embrace that part of my life and that part of me.
Amazing. And I think it was very similar for me, because when I started creating and I had no idea what I was doing and how to market myself or whatever, you know, what it is like in the art world, I had someone like that who helped me through a lot of things. And, you know, I will forever be grateful because she showed me what I can do and how I can empower others through my story and through the things that I do. So definitely I can relate to that. So based on what you told me about your experience with your firstborn, and I just want to mention that it's specifically hard when it comes to kids and their health condition, but it's even scarier, I would say, when it's happening to your firstborn child, because it's just, everything is so new. So I noticed that you then created a Paint It Forward charity project. So can you talk about that? What was it about?
Yeah, absolutely. So Paint It Forward was basically lemonades from lemons. I have had, depending on how you look at it, the fortune of the misfortune of having many opportunities for growth via traumatizing events, whether they seem to just be happening to me or I brought them on myself. And Paint It Forward was really a silver lining opportunity. So I had started painting when I was trying to heal and kind of recover with everything that had happened with Jack. And again, I, in my mind, I still had a little bit of like guilt towards it, doing something for myself. I knew that it felt good and it felt healing, and it was a great practice for me. And I guess at the time I was probably having trouble just fully accepting the value in that and the validity in the practice itself. So, you know, being the Pisces, the sensitive, the creative, the like natural giver type of personality that I am, Paint It Forward was an opportunity to give back to the hospital. So it originally started as what I wanted to do for my birthday. So what I ended up doing is I just put a little post out to my community saying I would love it for my birthday this year if people could make a donation to the neonatal intensive care unit at McMaster Hospital, which is the hospital back in Canada that Jack went to and got his care at. And what I asked people to do was make a donation, I think it was minimum their age in dollars, to the hospital. And in exchange, I would paint their birth flower for them. I was really into florals at the time. And to my surprise, that was pretty wildly successful. So I ended up raising quite a bit of funds for the McMaster NICU. And that then evolved into me wanting to give back in other ways as well. So I really believe in karma and, you know, putting out what you want to see in the world. I think that there's more than enough for everybody. I have really an abundance mindset. So I actually donated for the first year of my painting, any paintings that I sold, I donated 100% of the proceeds to charity. So it started off with Master Children's Hospital. I also did some fundraisers for Women for Women International. I did some private fundraisers for other mothers who were just going through some tough times. And now moving into more like landscapes and those type of inspired paintings, I'm also a huge nature lover. So I work with One Tree Planted org to plant trees in exchange for purchasing my paintings. For me, this is a no-brainer. Like, you know, I'm just so grateful to have people supporting me doing something that I absolutely love doing. So having an aspect where I give back is absolutely intuitive and so aligned with who I am and what I want to be doing in the world.
Let's talk about your art a little bit more. Can you tell me what is your main inspiration? I mentioned that you create colorful landscapes, so obviously it will be nature, but like what aspect of that? How do you connect to your subject matter?
My paintings are very colorful. I'm going through a bit of transitionary period as an artist right now, maybe like a metamorphosis where I'm trying to refine and maybe like scale back the like vomit of color that I put onto a canvas. So that is, you know, part of my evolution and something that I'm working on. To me, I have always been like, as long as I can remember, as, you know, as a child or, you know, my entire life, I have always been the type of person that like obnoxiously sees beauty in everything. I think that's a key trait of most artists, but I will sit there and like stare at a tiny little bug for like as long as it will let me kind of thing. So in nature, there's obviously incredible beauty. And I think that my paintings and the color are a way of me trying to translate just how loud, huge, passionate, like how enormous that emotion or feeling for me is inside. So there's not a lot that's super realistic about my style. It's definitely much more impressionist and even abstract at times, in the sense that like I want to express what's happening in my interpretation of nature and just how loudly it speaks to me. So maybe that's why, I mean, I'm still sorting this out myself. So maybe that's why there's that uninhibited kind of like expression of it. And I think that goes along with everything. I'm so flabbergasted by this earth experience, and you know, that I get to like traipse around in this little meat suit of mine and have this 3D kind of experience. And it's so much more complicated than that, in the sense that like we all interpret it really differently. So I guess that's just my art is my way of showing how I interpret it. And I also have such like, I'm a heart constitution. I love so hard, and I want my art to show how I feel in that sense, you know, like it's over the top. It's supposed to be over the top. It, you know, I want to be, and I try to be one of those people that loves without limits. And right now, especially, I think that's something that the world needs, because a lot of people are living from fear, and understandably so. I'm not one to judge them. It's been scary times, and there's, you know, a lot of terribly frightening stuff happening. And I just try to like maintain love and a colorful outlook. And I think that's, I hope that comes through in my art.
And I love that you mentioned that, because this is something that I feel as well, because I've experienced, you know, through the scary moments of this year, I've experienced a lot of anxiety, not for the first time in my life, but for the first time it hit me so hard that I wasn't able to function for a couple of weeks, until I realized that I, obviously you can't change the whole world, you can't really like solve all the problems, but at the same time you can do something to feel better about the situation, and about, you know, you can contribute to making the world a better place. So definitely, like, this is something that resonates with me so much, everything you said. And I always believe that by being positive and happy and loving and sort of showing this to other people, it has so much more power than all the fears and everything that's happening.
Absolutely. And I think that I personally get caught in these moments of caring and loving so much, and seeing, you know, kind of the negative things, the dark things that really contrast the light. And there truly isn't, you know, one without the other, but there is a lot of darkness happening on our planet right now. And I have moments where I want to get in there and I want to infuse my light and I want to, you know, share my positivity, and it hurts me. I won't lie. It hurts me because I feel like it's not accepted, or it's ignored, or it's misunderstood and then translated into something that doesn't align with me, something completely different. And it can be really discouraging at times. So for me, especially, my art practice is an opportunity to come back to something that I feel very grounded in, that I feel very aligned with, and that raises my vibration. And I think that's the best thing that any of us can do. And that's a bold statement, and I know a lot of people won't agree with it. However, I truly believe that it's all energy. We're all energy on this world. So if I'm sinking myself into situations, or, you know, kind of bubbles or areas where it's bringing my vibe down, I'm not only doing myself a disservice, I'm doing the collective a disservice too. So it's not that I don't care, or that I'm trying to ignore or not help you know, I do care. I care so much. And you know, I think that's shown through my charity and my overall perspective and just trying to always return to love. But I also know that my self-care and keeping my own vibration high is very important for me as well as everybody else, right? Because if my vibration and my energy is low, that's not helping anybody either.
Definitely. And also, you know, by you having that high vibration frequency, you're also sort of passing it on to your family, right? And so there you have more people who actually feel that, and it creates this ripple effect on others. So I totally agree with everything you said. Now, when I say art is healing, what do you say to that?
Absolutely. Art is healing. That's probably like a gross understatement. For me, it was reviving. Like, I have been at points where I have been so low. I have been feeling the human experience so deeply and been at such a low vibration. Even post, like, having my most recent son. So it was interesting because, as you had mentioned, we just had another baby. He turns 4 months today, actually. But in that time, so since the beginning of this year, we actually finished renovating our four-story century home and moved countries, had a baby. So I have not picked up a paintbrush in far longer than I'd like. Well, I have since, but it was the longest period that I've gone. And that was so difficult for me. And I tried to find like other ways to maintain my creativity. But then, you know, being postpartum, and my second son was also actually in the NICU as well, and then got sick again since we moved to Belize. So there's been many, many surprises in life. And I say that with a smile, which sounds maybe perverse to a lot of people. However, these moments are always, always opportunities to macro out and learn something. And I think for me, that's been the hugest transition in my life, is no longer asking why in a negative way. Like, why is this happening to me? Why, you know, in my past, I had like abusive relationships and bad health. And, you know, like, why am I ending up in the ICU? Why is this happening to me? Why am I, you know, having trouble at this job now? And it was always why is this happening to me? Now I ask why in a different way. So I'm more likely to ask, like, why is this happening? And what is the lesson that I can learn from this? I noticed that when I look back on my first life within this life, there was a lot of patterns that I was attracting into my life. And I fully believe now that I came here with a set, like an agenda and a contract of what I wanted to learn. So when I was not learning those lessons, I was not graduating those classes, and I was inviting those lessons into my life over and over and over again. And unlike traditional schooling on our planet, if you fail a course, they do, you know, here they don't graduate you. You don't go on to like grade two, grade three, etc. In life, if you don't learn the lesson, it doesn't matter. You can still have another lesson that you don't learn. And I had just, you know, over the first probably 25 to 30 years of my life, just attracted, you know, a big course load that I wasn't graduating. So now I'm very quick to like macro out when things, you know, when I do have a tower moment or things aren't going my way, to say, okay, what is the lesson here? What do I need to learn? And how can I turn this into something? How can I transmute, or, you know, be an alchemist here and turn this into something great? And yeah, so it's really changed my perspective.
I just wanted to add to that because I've been working on my mindset a lot and trying to reprogram things as well. And I just love one thing that I came across very early on, and that was, You can't change the world. You can't change the people around you. You can't change the challenges, but you can change the perception and your reaction, your behavior towards those things. And I just love that because it gives you so much more power than just being like a bystander or inactive player, but you are actually active and you are making the decisions, you're taking the steps, and you are actually facing all those things with, while being more empowered, because you are co-creating, you know, your own response, if I can say so.
Absolutely. And I think that's what's been really exciting to me is for so many years, I felt like a victim of my experience. And then I came across also on my own personal journey, you know, some key kind of learnings were dropped into my lap, which totally changed my perspective. And I truly do believe that, you know, I came here premeditated with a purpose and certain lessons that I wanted to learn. And once you really realize that and subscribe to it, I know a lot of people talk about like manifesting is super relevant. It might just be the bubble that I'm living in, but I, you know, it's kind of, that's the buzzword that's going around these days. And it's absolutely true. And it's kind of like, I'm living this, not that bad things don't happen or challenges, I don't incur challenges anymore, but I've really revolutionized myself to come to this realization that I am an engineer of my reality. And now, instead of asking the like, why is this happening to me? Why is this person, you know, breaking my heart? Why am I sick? Why am I losing this job? Why does life suck so much? I have totally, you know, come to this perception of there's a lesson here, I can grow from it. And with every lesson, I grow more powerful and become an engineer of my reality. And that has become so powerful in the sense that my whys have become why nots. So why not move to a different country? Why not be a full-time artist? Why not do all these other things that I'm excited to be doing, and that, you know, the past narrative or the past version of myself has said, you can't do that. Well, why not? Why can't I? You know, because I have a couple miracle babies. I have, you know, an up and coming art career that like really happened quite quickly. That is, you know, just these real life magic moments. I have synchronicities coming to me all the time, telling me that I'm on the right path. You know, I'm covered in goosebumps constantly. I'm getting messages from source or, you know, telling me that I'm doing the right things and I need to keep doing it. So like, why not? Why not go for it? And life is really too short. My sons were, you know, perfect lessons to learn that. It was like, we just couldn't continue on the path that we were on. And that's what kind of sparked this incredible dream chasing life evolution that we're on now.
I wanted to talk about your move from Canada to Belize, because that's an amazing thing. And I remember when we were chatting through email and you were like, oh, I'm moving continents. And I knew that you were moving. I didn't realize that it was such a big move. So I was interested in, you know, why Belize? And I know you bought a property there. I saw some stories on your social media. So I really loved following that journey. But why Belize?
So Belize is an interesting place. So my dynamic with my husband is I'm very much the gas and he's very much the brakes. So we have traveled together in past, and basically everywhere we go, I'm like, let's move here. And he's like, no. So this was the first place that we traveled together. And, you know, in true Lindsay fashion, I was like, oh my God, I love you here. Let's move here. And it was the first time that Simon was actually like, yeah, actually, I think like we could explore this option a little bit. There's a lot of stuff on paper that we initially loved about Belize. As an English-speaking North American, it's an easier transition because the main language is English here. The people are incredibly friendly and welcoming. The locals are amazing. Some of like the nicest people that you'll meet on the planet, I would venture to say. And the beauty here is incredible. I mean, yes, it's like beaches and people kind of know that aspect of Belize. It's on the Caribbean Sea. For those of you that don't know, it's just south of Mexico, north of Honduras and east of Guatemala. So it's kind of like tucked in on the Caribbean Sea. Hopefully my geography is all right on that. But it has the second largest barrier reef in the world. So there's great like underwater beauty as well. They have done an enormous amount to protect the environment here and try to restore the reef, keep the environment like clean and beautiful here. So it really just spoke to us. It's also like a much slower, laid back pace of life, which is something that I really wanted for raising my children. I met, and absolutely no judgment, this is just like my personal desires for parenting. I didn't want my kids to be living in an environment where they were, because of the circumstances of that environment, forced to focus on like material things and, you know, oh, well, I don't have the newest smartphone or I don't have this or that and my friend has this. And I really wanted them to live in a place where, quite frankly, those things weren't available to them. This is a developing country, so you can get stuff here, but it's much more difficult. Even trying to buy like art supplies and stuff is proving challenging here. But yeah, I just didn't, in a way, and again, I'm totally projecting on my kids, which is something that, you know, I promised myself I wouldn't do. But to some extent, you end up doing it a little bit. So I forgive myself for that. But I wanted to afford them an opportunity where nature and being outdoors and connecting with people were higher on that priority list and that availability to them. And Belize was really a place that we felt allowed us to do that. So it's somewhere where we wanted to raise our kids. And yeah, and now we're here.
This is actually the reason why we bought a house. We're still renovating it. And hopefully this year we can move in. But we bought a house, a villa from the 1920s in a small village with 700 people where I grew up. Because before our son was born, we were living in Prague, in the capital city. And I was like, there's no way I'm raising my child here. Like, I want him or her to be able to go out with his or her friends and just enjoy nature. And I don't want to be worried all the time that they're somewhere in the city, you know, like running wild or around the streets. I just wanted them to have the same experience as I had when I was a kid. So that's pretty much one of the reasons. And I know it's not as romantic as Belize. I wish I was somewhere like that. But it's still a countryside, so, you know, I'm really excited about it.
No, that sounds amazing. I lived in Sweden briefly, in like country area outside of one of the cities, and absolutely adored it, you know, like rode my bike everywhere. And yeah, it was fantastic existence. And I was actually an au pair. So, you know, working with children who were growing up in that experience. And it's definitely a luxury, you know, I recognize that. And I'm grateful for it. I think that our experience that we're having right now is a very strong combination of things falling into the right place and those avenues opening up for us and us working really hard to get this. You know, we get a lot of people saying like, either you're lucky or you're crazy. That's kind of the two labels that we have. And by the way, people can follow our family journey and this transition to Belize. Our Instagram account, well, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, all that is Keep It Simple Society. So KISS, so Keep It Simple Society. And it's just kind of like a fun and goofy representation of our transition over here. We try to have a lot of fun on that account, but also answer questions of like, just how did we do it and how are we doing it and what are the hurdles and what are the great things about it and whatnot. So it's been a challenging but fun transition.
I love that you mentioned that. People say that either you're crazy or lucky, because I always gravitate towards crazy in my case, you know, like when I ended my career and became full-time artist and you know, launched these platforms, people were looking at me like, what are you doing? I'm like, you know, I'm crazy. Like, I just want to do it, so I do it. And so I always like go for the crazy. But since we're talking about your move to Belize, what are you focusing on since your move?
Right. So this for me is truly a season of fun and enjoyment. The last 2 years have been pretty heavy, pretty serious. And I would say even the last like 20 years before that have been pretty heavy. I had a lot of work to do in healing some pretty major parts of myself and, you know, changing my perspective and reinventing myself. And with that came a lot of shadow work, a lot of giving up kind of like shortcuts and avoidant behaviors and things that were holding me back. And I will not lie, it has been hard. It has been a tough journey. I have done pretty well at it, maintain gratitude and love throughout the process, but it has been, you know, it's deep and dark down at the bedrock. And I am finally getting to a point where I'm really, and I have been for years now, releasing that narrative of who I was. I think that's probably one of the most difficult things for me to do in my journey, and I see a lot of other people struggling on it, is no longer needing that narrative in terms of a tool or having utility to explain or associate with who I am or what I'm doing here. So in past, all of the feelings, emotions, they had to have meaning to them. And I had to analyze everything. And it was just very weighty, I guess. So having such a massive life change has been very like eye-opening for me, in the sense that like, if I bring that all with me, I am really doing a disservice. Like, this is such an obvious and amazing opportunity to start new. Like, I'm creating this dream life, so let's live this dream life and really subscribe to it and really be authentic about it. So in the theme of why not, you know, why not move to Belize, I'm also just unabashedly like going after anything and everything that I want in life. You know, at the moment, like I said, I hadn't picked up a paintbrush in a while. So just, you know, jumping back into that, getting comfortable with my art, it is completely new landscapes here. And I kind of thought like, okay, well, I'm going to move here. And I used, for those of you who have seen my art before, it's a lot of like boreal kind of landscapes. And there's not a lot of boreal forests in Belize. There are some, I think they're pines and firs here, which is interesting, but, you know, much more like palm trees, fruit trees, that kind of stuff. And I kind of thought to myself, am I going to be so literal that I just start painting like palm trees here rather than, you know, oak trees and cedars and things like that. So I'm kind of, you know, taking this time to pretty selfishly like reinvestigate where my art is going. But what I'm also doing is like really embracing this beachy tropical lifestyle. And I have, I'm in the process of launching a clothing line, a clothing accessories line called Bodhigal. So that's Bodhigal. And that's Bodegal and Co. on Instagram. And yeah, it's all about really bravely wearing like your journey to mindfulness. There's so many of us that are on it right now, and it's so fantastic. And I just wanted to really create things like clothing or reminders, like mindfulness water bottles is like really random thing. But I saw an amazing documentary on water and how you can imprint your memory on water, and how like water just generally holds data and information. It was so wild to me in this documentary. They showed how, you know, simply putting like thank you or love or gratitude on a bottle of water could change the molecular structure of it. So I was like, oh my God, I need a water bottle that, you know, says Domo Arigato on it. And then obviously couldn't find that because it's like a super random and like, you know, impossible thing to find. And so I, you know, just came back to the why not and said, well, I'm going to create this stuff myself. I'm going to create the stuff that I love, that I want to wear, that expresses my journey and is bright and colorful and fun. And I'm going to share it with the world. And, you know, I hope that somebody else loves it too. And, you know, but if I don't put it out there, then nobody will, you know, nobody will know about it. So yeah, really excited to be doing that. That's a new venture. Another thing that we are doing is we bought land in Belize and we're building our property on that. And part of the property is also going to be, and you're the first to know this, I haven't shared it with anybody yet, is I am going to be building an artist residence and retreat. So I'm really excited for that. We'll be hosting retreats there. It's an artist residence and studio. So there'll be a place for us to host various artists from around the world. I'd love to have them come stay with us. There are outside of beaches, there are amazing like plein air landscapes and opportunities. There's a rich like cultural history here in Belize with the Garifuna, with the Mayans. It's just like an incredibly inspiring place in the world. There's a ton of like healers and artisans in the area that I live in. And I'm just really excited to share this with other creative minded people. So we will be hosting those. We actually also bought a bus before we left Canada. So we have a way to kind of like pack everybody up and tote everybody around, go check sites out. And yeah, I feel like, you know, very much that I, in the same sense that I feel like a permission slip of doing this is, you know, an opportunity for other people to say, hey, why can't I do this? I also like want to go one step further and be like, hey, come on over, come, like, we're happy to have you, you know? So I've already talked to some fantastic artists and they have agreed to come down here and host some retreats. So yeah, I'm really excited for that opportunity, like so much that my face hurts. Like it just brings me so much glee to be able to exist in this life right now.
I wanted to say that like suddenly, I mean, you were smiling all the time, but like suddenly you just like, it was a completely different expression, and I'm a little sad that people can't see that through the podcast, because you just like literally you were like a sunshine once you started talking about that. So it's absolutely something that all the artists who are listening to this podcast should look for and wait for more information. I wanted to mention one more thing when you were talking about like your spiritual journey and going within and doing the shadow work and everything. I think what people often don't realize is that once you start, you are like on a roller coaster for a lifetime. But it's so worth it. And I just wanted to say that when you were talking at the beginning, when you were talking about your previous career and how you had all these like nudges like creating art, and then through your experiences you eventually picked up your brushes or pencils or, you know, the first thing that you picked up and started creating, and suddenly you're now talking about, like, you moved continents, you're talking about creating this beautiful space for other artists and supporting them and just creating more and more. It's so powerful to see the shift, like how we often tend to stay in sort of like safe conditions or safe environments because that's what we were thought, that's what we were programmed to do. And then suddenly when you actually step outside of your comfort zone and you go for your dreams, your life changes so much and you feel so empowered. And we talked about like taking inspired action and just going for it. And I can see, like, when I talk to you, I can just see it in your face that, you know, this is what you're meant to be doing. And I'm so happy that I got to listen to it now. And now, since we're slowly coming to the end of our interview, is there anything you'd like to mention or any advice to our audience, to other artists?
What a loaded question. Yeah, I think, wow, okay. I mean, I think the answer is actually quite easy, but I don't know that it's always understood, so I say it cautiously. You know, when people are kind of like searching for the meaning of life or, you know, why are we here or what are we doing? It's actually quite simple, which is why we named our other account, Keep It Simple Society. It's actually quite simple. You know, live from love, not fear, be kind to others. And if it feels good and you're not hurting anybody, do it. That's what puts you on the right track. If it's bringing you bliss, that is your purpose. And I think a lot of people look at that and they think, oh, that's a really selfish approach. But when you understand it in a different way, in an energetic sense, it's really the best thing you can do. And, you know, if you got yourself stuck in a point where everything you're doing is, or most things you're doing are making you unhappy, then that's okay, but it's probably time to like take a step back and see how you can return to that bliss. And for me, it was like looking at what the things that I loved to do in childhood, and it was being creative. And I feel so grateful that this is my path, and also so proud that I was brave enough to like take this leap finally. And I recommend it. I highly recommend it.
Yes. Thank you so much for sharing everything. And I had a wonderful time with you. And I can't wait to follow your journey and see what you create. And hopefully chat to you soon again.